we're going. We got a lot of stuff rolled into our messages today. Roger, where are we going? We're going to some kind of little video, then to some word. How are we doing? Here we go. I want you to keep your mind really fixed to this screen. Okay. 2,977 innocent people died on September the 11th, 2001. Say 2,977 with me. 2,977. 2,606 in the World Trade Center, 87 on American Flight 11, 60 on United Flight 175, 125 in the Pentagon, and 59 on Flight 77, 40 on United Flight number 93. 411 of these victims were emergency workers. They're heroes. 341 firefighters and two paramedics. 23 from the police officers and 37 Port Authority officers, 8 private EMT and paramedics giving their life to help other people. These are their names.
Our fellow citizens, our way of life, our very freedom came under attack in a series of deliberate and deadly terrorist acts. Terrorist attacks can shake the foundations of our biggest buildings, but they cannot touch the foundation of America. These acts shatter steel, but they cannot dent the steel of American resolve. Tonight I ask for your prayers for all those who grieve, for the children whose worlds have been shattered, for all whose sense of safety and security has been threatened. And I pray they will be comforted by a power greater than any of us, spoken through the ages in Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me.
Wow, it's tough, isn't it, Say? Amen. All right. Roger's put some stuff together for us, so we're just rolling with it. Okay, buddy, what we got coming up now? Talk to me so I can look at me. Okay. All right. Is it back to me now? At 9:44 a.m., Flight 93, passenger Todd Beamer attempted to call his wife Lisa from the onboard air telephones. Instead, he reaches GTE airphone operator Lisa Jefferson. They talk for a total of 13 minutes. It's crazy, isn't it? He tells her details about the hijacking, that he could not tell if the pilot and co-pilot were alive or dead. She tells Beamer of the two flights that had crashed into the World Trade Center. He then tells her about his wife, his kids, and the one they were expecting. The plane begins to lurch as the hijackers have taken the controls. Beamer becomes excited and fears that they're going down. As the plane levels off, he asks Jefferson to call his wife if he didn't survive. He asks her to tell them that he loved them. He then asks the following: "Can you please recite the Lord's Prayer with me?" Let's do it. "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen." As the ride gets more bumpy, he yells, "Lisa, Lisa!" She tells him she'll be there as long as he's there. Beamer then tells her that he and some of the other passengers have decided to try and take back the plane. They all knew about the other flights being used as missiles. They had to do something, and they planned their assault. Beamer then laid down the phone, but left the line open. Lisa Jefferson then heard Beamer say the following. Say it with me. "God, help me. Jesus, help me. Are you ready? Okay. Are you guys ready?" Say it with me. Say it loud. Can we just scream it because we're ticked? Can we say it? Come on. Let's roll! Amen? Say. Guy's a hero. I guess that one was headed to the Capitol. Is that right? Got a little message. Got a message the next hour. My time is brief in this first service, but I'm going to give you some message. What do you say on 9/11? I mean, I can say a lot of stuff. You know what happened on 9/11? What a lot of people started doing? I'm going to tell you what they did. A lot of preachers and a lot of people that are crazy. They started picking out verses in the Bible and saying this was of God. And this was, look at this verse over in Isaiah that said this was going to happen. And look over here, this said this was going to happen. Can you imagine how people must have felt that lost loved ones, you telling them God just killed their kids? Say, have y'all heard anything like that? Say. I'm going to tell you something. If you go to Fellowship Church and you've got some kooky, cockamamie ideas like that, you're probably going to find a church somewhere else because I think that's goofy. Y'all listen to me or what? Say. The Bible's not a Ouija board. Say that with me. The Bible's not a what? A Ouija board. Come on one more time. The Bible's not a what? A Ouija board. Listen, there's all kinds of prophecies in the Word of God. I understand that. But trying to tie a verse from a verse here, a verse there to September 11th, and, you know, listen, we're still men. We're fallen. We don't have all this knowledge, do we, folks? Yes or no? No, we don't. So, anyway, so a lot of people be preaching verses like that today. They're going to just prove this happened from the Bible and all that. I'm not going to do that. Y'all cool with that? But here's what I am going to do. I went to the New Testament just for your memory, and I pulled out the 9/11s of the New Testament. There's 10 of them. Say 10 of them. 10 of them in your New Testament. There's 27 books in the New Testament. 10 of them have a 9th chapter. And at least an 11th verse. You understand? So, does that mean this is prophecy? No, it just means that you got a kooky preacher, that's all. That tries to do things to get you to think sometimes, that's all. And I don't have time to go over all of them. I am going to finish it and do it in the next service. But I want to give you a couple of them today. Let's start with this one. Here we go. The 9/11s of the New Testament. Revelation. We'll start with the last one. Revelation 9:11. We'll start with the last one. And they had a king over them, which is the angel, say it with me, of the what? Bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. What is that talking about? Those words mean destroyer. Okay? So who in the world would this be talking about? Well, I'm going to tell you what Revelation 9:11 is talking about. When you read the book of Revelation, not trying to tie it to 9/11 in any way, shape, or form. Just trying to let you know what that one is. And that is about the last days. Okay?
and about Satan in the last days, the tribulation period, all that stuff that's going to come in these last days, unleashing of wrath and all that kind of stuff, had nothing to do with 9/11. Y'all understand that? Yes or no? Okay, thank you. It's just the Word of God, things that's going to happen. Do I believe the things that in Revelation are going to happen? Absolutely, I do. Do I understand them all? Absolutely not. All right? I'm going to tell you something, though. The devil's been deceiving, hijacking, and destroying people's lives all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Y'all listening to me? All the way back. He didn't just start, okay, time to work, boys, on 9/11. He's been destroying people's lives from the very beginning. Has he visited your house? Say, can I see a hand? Say. That's who he is. Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world. Remember the story, Adam and Eve? And Satan coming and saying, God hath surely not said that you're going to surely die. He just knows you're going to have knowledge. Isn't that how Satan is? Say, if I do this now, it won't cost me all that bad. No. See, he's just a liar. He's a deceiver. He's a destroyer. By one man sin entered into the world. You're not going to surely die. Did Adam die? Somebody tell me. Deader than a hammer. Everybody else will die. That's how we're going to know you're a sinner one day. You people that think you're perfect, let me tell you something. One day we're going to go, they won't. Because every sinner does what? Dies. Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon who? All men for all have sinned. See, Satan's been... He hijacked way back when in the garden. Been causing destruction ever since. Keep looking. For the wages of sin is what? Death. Say it one more time. The wages of sin is what? One day you'll pay. One day I'll pay for the fact that I'm a sinner and I'm born in sin. Not that we're going to pay for all eternity. We're not, because Jesus Christ came. That's the beautiful part. Look at this. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible teaches two deaths. It teaches this first death, but it teaches a second death. I'm going to tell you something right now. Clark ain't dying but once. I might not be the brightest bulb in the box, but I'm going to tell you right now. If I got two chances here, okay, now you're going to die once or you're going to die twice, I go, I'll just take the first one. Y'all hearing me? Say, Jesus took my second one. Say that with me. Jesus took my second one. I'm not going to die for all eternity. That's Satan's plan. That's Apollyon's plan. That's Abaddon's plan. That's the destroyer's plan. That's the deceiver's plan. That's not God's plan. That's why Jesus came. You wonder, what's the difference between all other religions? I'm going to tell you what the difference is, because you serve the one true God, period. You understand? God had one son. His name was Jesus. He didn't have 15 plans. He has one plan. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Boy, that's clear as a crystal, man. Only begotten, one and only son, that whosoever believes in who? Him should not perish but have what? And if you don't do that, you'll die the second death. You can be as political as you want to be. You can be as religious as you want to be. But at the end of the day, are you a believer in Jesus Christ? Do you know him? Amen. The gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Boy, that's how you defeat Satan. That's how you let's roll, baby. Get on Jesus. Amen. Don't go down. Don't let Satan take you out. Make a decision. I'm going to put my faith in Christ. Bottom line. Amen. I want to just look at a couple of these 9/11s, and I'm out of time. So I was looking at them. It's just intriguing to me. Are y'all asleep yet or no? Okay, good. Here we go. Because we've got coffee for you in just a little bit. Come on, hang in here. The 9/11s of the New Testament. I just started looking at them. Thought they were interesting. I said, well, look at that. Look at the first one in Matthew. The 9/11s through the New Testament. The first one's Matthew 9:11. Does this have anything to do with 9/11? Somebody tell me. Is this because I'm crazy? How many have learned the Ten Commandments with me? Were those as goofy and off the wall as whatever? Do you know them? Put your hands up. Absolutely. So just hush and go with me. The first 9-11 is in Matthew. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto Jesus' disciples, "Why does your master eat with publicans and sinners?" You know what I wrote down? People. 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 See, there was a destroyer. Satan came all the way back in the garden to destroy your life and my life. But you know what? Thank God that God gave His one and only Son for us. Thank God that He loves people. You hearing me today? He loves you. You might say, "I'm not good enough to love." You are. See, the key is He didn't love you because you're good enough. He loves you because you're bad. And you need help. Amen. You're listening or what? Jesus loves people! So the first 9-11 of the New Testament is who? People! That's the first one. Right out of the gate, Jesus Christ loves who? People. So then I go to Mark. Let's look at Mark. Mark 9-11. Now this one was rough. I had to read before and after and all through the chapter just to figure out what it's meaning. And they asked Him, saying, "Why say the scribes that Elias must first come?" Do I have some other scriptures on that one? Okay, and I'll talk a little bit about it. Jesus was prophesied to be despised and rejected. This is a prophecy that His disciples were asking when Jesus was on the planet. Why are they talking about Elias must first come, and there'll be a forerunner and all that before Messiah comes and all that kind of stuff? And we know that forerunner was who? Was John the Baptist. And so just it's a little strange scripture. But the bottom line is talking about Jesus Christ being rejected. Isaiah 53. "He's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid as it were our faces from Him. He was despised and we esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs. He's carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." See, this was prophesied that Jesus Christ was coming. You and I were in a whole heap of trouble. Satan had our number, baby. But Jesus loved people. That's why He came. And it was prophesied long before He came that He was coming. Y'all understand my math on that? "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed." He was prophesied to be despised and rejected. "All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord had laid on" what? "Him" who? "The iniquity" of who? "Of us all." Amen? So, number one, people. Second one in the New Testament, prophecy. It was prophesied that Jesus would come. If you read on after Mark 9:11, about 12, 13, 14, you'll see that he says basically what happens to him. He'll be rejected, but also to the one that will be the forerunner, he'll also be rejected himself, just like the forerunner. And that's exactly what happened. It was prophesied that it would go down just like it went down. You understand? That Jesus would be despised and rejected, and He would give His life for us. That's God's plan. How about Luke 9:11? We ain't got much more time, Raj. We'll try to make it to John. Here we go. Luke 9:11, "And the people, when they knew it, followed Him." Talking about Jesus again. "And He received them, and He spoke unto them of the kingdom of God." Say that last part with me. "And" what? "Healed them that had" what? "Need of healing." He is our great physician. That's who Jesus is. I mean, there's a lot of broken hearts today, you know, because of this day. But in our world that we live in, I'll be honest with you, I had a hard week this week. My heart was broken all week. Not about 9-11, about my own pain and some hurt in my life. And I just kept telling the Lord, "You've always been good to me. You've never been anything but good to me. You've blessed me. And You can heal my broken heart." That's Luke 9:11. I like that. "As many as had need, He healed them." Amen? Now get it down, folks. All of us are going to die one day. It's going to happen. But Jesus' real specialty is healing your broken heart. You listening? His real specialty is healing your broken heart. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal, say it with me, the who? To preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Jesus, say it with me, heals who? The brokenhearted. Amen. And let's go with one last one. And this is John 9:11. And I got to quit. Clock says quit. So number one, the Matthew one was Jesus loves who? And the fact that He was come was what? Prophesied. And number three, Luke, He is our great what? He heals what kind of hearts? You're not doing bad with your 9-11s. John, the fourth one in the New Testament. This is that great story, John 9, that blind man born blind from birth. So now he's healed. He can see. 9-11. He answers and said, a man that's called Jesus, the scribes and Pharisees are trying to get him to rat out who did this to him, and they're trying to catch Jesus, you know, for healing people. That's funny, ain't it? He answered and said, a man that's called Jesus made clay, and he anointed my eyes. Matter of fact, he took the clay and spit on it, and anointed my eyes, and he said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash, and I went and washed, and I did what? Say it with me. Received my sight. Isn't that awesome? You know what I put up the word purpose? Jesus gives purpose to my life. I was a 16-year-old hell raiser when I put my faith in Christ. I thought my life was going to be playing ball, maybe going to law school. I did. Come from nothing, man. In a little old town, we had nothing. I just had a couple of little thoughts out there. I didn't know I really mattered, though. And Jesus gave purpose to my life. Saved my drunk mama. Set me on a path to where I could see people, and people started to really matter in my life. And reaching out to people. I have a purpose. You have a purpose. You understand that? Say, have you received your sight in Christ? They again called the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know this man had been putting his hands on your eyeballs and doing that. He's a sinner, man. Here's what he said. I love this. He answered and said, hey, whether he be a sinner or not, I don't know anything about all that. One thing I know is, hey, Jack, I was blind, and now what? I was what? And now what? I was what? And now what? You call him what you want to. I call him Jesus. I call him Lord. Amen? He's given purpose in my life. I can now see clearly. I used to couldn't even see creation. I didn't even know those stars up there. My God put them there. I didn't know that. I became a believer in Christ, started reading the Bible. I found out I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Did you hear all that stuff? Isn't that great? God gives purpose to my life. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. That's where this song came from, that verse. Right there from the blind man. This is where John Newton wrote that song from. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Say it with me. Was what? Blind, but now what? That's where that song came from. Isn't that cool? So four of them, let's review. Now the last one in the Bible talks about who? The devil. He's a destroyer. He's a deceiver. He's a wicked one. He hijacked all the way back in the garden. Is that correct? The first four talk about who? Jesus. The first one, Jesus loves who? It was what that Jesus would come? Prophesied. Number three, He is the great what? He heals what kind of heart? And number four, He gives what to my life? Purpose. So at least you got some of the 9-11s of the New Testament. Amen? Come on, let's praise the Lord for His Word this morning. We got to go. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Let's stand.